Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Cubby in Copenhagen. My name is Owen and I'm with the squeakiest seat in town. I'm with Marius.
Squeakiest bum in town.
Squeaky bum. Abby's normally here, but Abby's not here today, so Abby's not here. But we have Marius.
Yes.
And we have me. And Hi. This is Cubby in Copenhagen, the podcast about life in Copenhagen.
Yes.
It's about life in Denmark.
Yeah.
It's about life in Scandinavia.
Mm-hmm.
It's about life in general.
That's true.
And the way we talk about these things, about the way we approach this conversation about life, is we look at news stories,
yeah.
Articles.
Yes.
We also talk about experiences. Because
when we have them.
When we have them. Because yeah. I'm Irish.
That's a weird...
There's no way of making it work. There's no way of making it... You just have to say these things.
Okay, fair
so,
enough.
So we have experiences and... Another piece of information. I'm Irish.
Yeah, I think that's better.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not having experiences just because you're Irish.
No. Abby, our co-host, who isn't here at the moment, but when she is here, she's American.
Yeah. Also, when she's not here, she's also American.
I don't know. I have that thing that children have, you know, like permanence.
Oh, yeah. Temporary. Object permanence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't have that yet. So when you're out of the room, I think you're gone forever.
You have no nationality when you're gone from the studio.
No, no. Abby Wamba is working on a very funny thing she's doing for very important people. But more on that another time, I'm sure. But I do have Marius.
Oh, thanks.
And you know what Marius has got that nobody else here has? Danish citizenship.
That's...
Well, actually, nationality.
Yeah.
I think
Abby has
citizen.
Danish
yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
God damn it, Abby. Can you just let me have one thing?
Yeah, and then we do a podcast about it. And the way you can find a podcast is you can click on the Copenhagen Post,
yeah.
Which you might have already done. Maybe you found us in the newsletter. Maybe you found us in the top corner of the website or the bottom corner of the website too. Mm. Or you found us on Spotify. People listen to us there and give us 5-star reviews all the time.
Yeah.
Hundreds, literally hundreds.
Literally hundreds now. Yeah.
You can go on iTunes. So you can listen to us there. You can find us through different places on
How's
on
the
iTunes.
Face cake situation? There.
Well, I don't know because we don't know how the face cake thing. It's 5 in a week. We need 5 written reviews in a week on iTunes.
And oh, so it has to be in 1 week? It can't be. It's not accumulative over time.
No, I mean 5. We have more than 5 reviews on iTunes, so we need 5 written reviews in 1 week, and we get face cake. We are getting face. For those who don't know what we're talking about, we have face cake coming. We have put challenges, boundaries to boundaries, not boundaries.
Targets.
The opposite of boundaries, yeah. Targets to hit. And when we reach these targets, we're going to get face cake, a cake with one of
KPIs.
Our faces on it.
We have KPIs on this podcast.
KPIs,
key
business talk
indicators.
Business talk.
Yes.
That's good because we need more of that in a minute. But that's coming up in the news. We've reached one. One was 100 Spotify reviews,
mm-hmm.
And we've reached that, which is fantastic.
Yep.
And the other one is 5 iTunes reviews, written iTunes reviews in a week. And we get Marius's
face on a cake.
Yeah. And Owen's face on a cake is a third Roger because we have a list of listeners that we say every now and then we have a wonderful listener list and we have 2 Rogers on it. And
yeah.
If we get a third Roger, we get my face cake.
Oof.
So there we go. Anyway, that's enough about face cake. But yeah, so thanks very much for tuning in all those different ways.
Yeah.
And if you've, what's that?
I don't, that was a little.
It's a ring.
The ring.
Where did that come from?
Are you proposing?
Yeah. I'm proposing we continue with the podcast.
Okay, that's a good idea. I do.
Want to continue?
Yeah.
Good. But yeah, thank you so much for joining us from wherever in the world you are listening. And we've had listeners from all over the world, so
yeah.
It's great to know that you're listening to us. You can write to us on copenhagen@gmail.com about all the things you want to talk about. Okay, I think I'm done.
That was a good intro, Owen.
Was it?
Yeah.
Great. Marius,
yeah,
bring me news.
Oh, I got a news story for you.
I have a cloth on my lap. I have a cloth on my lap, and I'm waiting for I don't know. Just bring me
a cloth in your.
I was
lap.
Trying to make some food reference. Like I'm going to devour the news you bring to me or something like that.
Okay.
Just tell me what's
happening. Got a bowl of spaghetti in my lap, and I'm ready. I'm hungry. Anyway. There's a new law coming in 2024, potentially. You must clock in and out of work. A digital stamp clock is being introduced in Danish legislation thanks to a comprehensive EU regulation that requires all companies and their employees to accurately record their working hours. So this law will ensure that companies comply with rules on working hours and rest time. The possible entry of the digital stamp clock into the Danish labor market is based on an EU ruling from 2019, which the Ministry of Employment is implementing into Danish law in order to meet the European rules. There's some mixed feelings about this.
Yeah.
Some people are saying it's an annoying requirement to impose. You'll be forced to register your working hours, also in areas where there's no need for it. Martin Torbo, CEO of the IT company Dinero, he agrees. I think it's a very over-patronizing. In other words, it's again society making inventions to get even more bureaucrats employed. Mm-hmm. But the head of the labor market policy at the trade union IDA, Charlotte Drachmann, she argues that overtime is an overlooked problem and that law will be a positive change. And says it's absolutely necessary to get something done about the massive amount of overtime. The legislative process will begin on November 24th, and the new law is expected to come into force on July 1st, 2024.
So, very unhuge, very not scary, very not. It sounds to my ears, I would say that most of Denmark probably won't like this.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel Danish.
No, it doesn't feel Danish, no.
No.
And I must say, I feel like it's a furthering of... So we have something called djuffer.
What's djuffer?
In Denmark.
Uh-huh.
Think of it as middle management.
Yeah, okay.
And there's been an insane boom, especially within the public sector, with djuffer, middle management people, uh-huh. whose sole job... is to sort of make sure you log everything and you report everything. And this is a massive burden on nurses. My dad was a social worker, over his, I think, 25 career. This just sort of kept coming more and more and more and more, which mm-hmm. takes away from their actual work because mm-hmm. they have to sit and document every fucking little detail.
Yeah.
There's some sense in that there needs to be, you know, laws that sort of... help the staff, the people working.
Yeah, yeah.
In that sense, and that's partly why we have unions and stuff mm-hmm. like that. I don't know if this is a necessary. It feels a bit.
But the interesting,
like a nanny state. Kind
sure,
of thing.
But the interesting thing here is it's not Denmark that wants to do this. It's an EU.
Yeah.
It's to that's kind of it, like I remember way back there was a referendum in Ireland years ago. And Ireland voted no. I think it was the Nice referendum. And and the EU were like, you can try that again. And the government were like, okay, we'll try that one more time.
Yeah.
And then we did it again. And then we voted yes. But it was so annoying.
We've had that in Denmark. Like back in, I think it's 92.
Yeah.
There was also it was also a referendum.
Yeah.
We voted no.
Yeah.
Then they just kind of. Did it again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Massive protests.
Yeah.
Guy was shot
Whoa.
In the legs. The police had their guns out and there was like a whole
Whoa.
Case about it. It was like, shoot for the legs.
Whoa.
Yeah. That was a fucking insane.
This took a turn. What?
Yeah. Not so cozy, huh?
It feels like surely Denmark... Okay, my bottom point is surely Denmark will be able to go, okay, this is making the news now and people aren't unhappy about it or like a little bit unhappy about it. But surely there's a way around it that Denmark can do it in a way that suits them, is what I'm saying.
How's this? I don't... Is it the right way that the EU has to be this one-size-fit-all? Like, every country have to have the exact... Like, I get it with... trade laws and sort of in terms of like products with certain things in it. We want some kind of common ground there, but
yeah,
I think it's going too far with like everyone, every country have to have the exact same kind of in laws internally. Like I get it in terms of trade and stuff like that. Like, but, and like, I'm thinking of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I work too much, but, well, I don't know what. Yeah, I don't. But I also, it's a small company I'm in. It's kind of,
yeah.
And I do it. I'm no one's telling me to do it. I do it because I'm passionate about what I do.
Yeah.
And I don't need some. I don't want to be have to. I wouldn't know how to check in and out like on a stamp thing. I don't know how that's gonna work for me.
It's not too hard. I mean, it's going to, like, I can imagine it's just some sort of app, and then you just like click. You know, lots of people do it.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I can understand how I would actually physically do it. Yeah, but yeah. I mean, like, in terms of my own time and structuring my day, okay, I don't need to sort of constantly adhere to some app. Was like, oh, I've worked 5 minutes now. Yeah. I'll check out again. Like. Mm.
I can't. I'm very curious to see how it turns out, because I can imagine a lot of Denmark being like, all right, we'll come up with some sort of solution. They're like, all right, maybe there's like a thing you clock in the start of the week and at the end of the week or something like this. You know, like, yes, I've been working for my set amount of hours per. Yeah. Like, but like a lot. I just don't see it working. Is my thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to guess how exactly it's going to be administered, but yeah, I also imagine there will be people will be pleased, and will it have the desired effects?
And like so let's say it works, right? Let's say we all join in and we click clock in, clock out, blah 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 blah. Will the European Union, look at Denmark and be like, you're taking a lot of cake breaks.
Yeah.
You're taking a lot of cake breaks. You're taking a lot of like.
Oh, but then do I have to take a stamp out when I'm having my cake break?
This is my question. This is my question, right? Cake breaks. Fridays are just kind of like half there a lot of the time. Like, a lot of people are like, by 2 o'clock, you're not.
And what if I'm working from home?
But yeah, it's all of this. Because the extreme version of this is like the companies, you hear about companies who have like, who monitor your movement and your toilet breaks and like how much clicking you are on your Amazon's like insane one, and like how much you're like on the home, working from home stuff. There's these companies that do like there's actually apps or things you can buy that make it look like you're doing something on the laptop. So your company thinks like, oh, you're sitting at the laptop and you're working, because you have to be there for X amount of hours every day, and you've gone up and gone to the toilet, or you're taking a phone call or something. So it makes it look like you're still working on the laptop, and just by moving things and da da da. So there's an extreme version, and it's just like, I just don't see it fitting very well into Danish society, clocking in, clocking out.
Yeah. I guess this is it's more for the employer. That sort of that this is like to make sure they don't overwork their employees. I don't know. Yeah, it feels a little bit like you have to. That it's a lack of trust also in my ability to sort of take care of myself and administer my own time, and like I'm sure they can gather a lot of data and get some interesting insights on the working market in Europe and some trends or negative trends and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't know. Surely there are better ways.
Yeah, and surely I'm sure there's probably a benefit to this as well. Like the what was the union representative said that there's a lot of overtime.
Yeah. And I mean, we're pretty known in Denmark to have a good work-life balance.
Yeah.
And I think it's partly due to like there is also a high degree of trust, in the sense that you can take a day off because the employer or people trust, your colleagues trust that I'm going to help you now, you're going to help me at another time, or you're going to be able to catch this up and sort of like,
you'll get the job done.
I like that trust and sort of the lack of sort of this constant oversight.
But we've talked about this before, about the linear management system.
Yeah, kind of flat hierarchy.
So we've talked about this before, and like it just doesn't kind of, it's not very cohesive with that, right? I mean, it's and the other thing, like the curious thing is, Meta has come out saying that, like, all right, we need to work harder. We need to.
Oh yes, she did,
like a couple of weeks ago, right? Yeah, she's like, all right, guys, like pull the thumb out. We need to. So there's like this little bit of an idea that between, if this comes in and Meta's kind of mentality continues, that like we might find ourselves in a Denmark in 10 years' time that is like stricter.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Oh, this could easily be, you know, right now it's like to help the employed.
Yeah.
It could easily flip around to be like, no, you're not doing enough. You're not working enough hours. Yada, yada.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
We'll see where it goes.
Yeah. Well, What stories do you bring, Owen?
I bring stories of screen time.
Oh.
Yeah, we generally speaking, people are on their screens too much. Yeah. According to
Deloitte,
thank you. They did a survey, and most Danes think they're on their screen too much. It shows that 57% believe that they spend too much time on their smartphones. 28% people look at their phones during meals, and 57% look at their phones as soon as they wake up.
Mm. Do you do that?
For in the morning, yes.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, first thing.
Yeah.
First thing, I'll roll over and I'll look for it.
Yeah.
What I do now is I keep the phone out of the bedroom when I go to bed, though.
Ah.
So I have to get up and go for my phone. So it's an active choice to do that.
That's a good idea.
Or yeah. What I do is I'll get up. If I wake up at like 7 and I don't have to get up at 8, I'll go out, get my phone, fall asleep and then wake up and then check my phone. But I think this is kind of... I think this is a bit skewed because I don't think Denmark is in particular a bad case for people on their phones. And also, given the way that it becomes night for 6 months of the year, I think it's fine to look at your phone and when it's pissing rain. Because here's the thing, there's loads of things that like you can look at the facts and the numbers about Denmark or anywhere and be like, yeah, but let's, what are the cultural norms and what are the other situations to take into this, right? So in Denmark, everyone's out and about till late at night, enjoying the winter, the summertime, enjoying the good weather, blah, 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 talking to people, going out and out. I'm sure there's a spike with being on your phone and everything because it's tradition in Denmark to stop talking to people when it comes to winter time. And with stop talking probably comes a lot of phone activity, right?
I'd imagine, yeah.
When you're on the 5C, you're probably like, you're taking the, you're, people aren't. And it was interesting. I noticed a while back, I was like, why is it so busy now with the traffic in the city?
Mm.
And my friend was like, because it's bad weather now.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, because more people are driving.
Yeah, yeah, less people are on their bicycles.
Less people are walking, less people are on their bikes. So all of these things, like you're still on your phone if you're driving because you're like listening to a podcast or looking at your screen like for directions, or you're taking public transport, the S train or whatever it is. Mm. So I totally see that people are on their screens more.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely also seasonal effects of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. But I think it is a negative trend in general,
sure.
Like worldwide, that we are just way too much on our phones. And
yeah.
Like, I think there will be some kind of, maybe like we've seen with cigarettes, like in a couple of 10 years now, there'll be some kind of...
Yeah.
Maybe not laws, but like at least some campaigns for like in the beginning to like reduce screen time. And like, I mean, there are plenty of studies on how social media apps can affect your sort of mental health and stuff like this. Right.
So, Yeah.
I've done this thing where my screen goes on this like gray mode.
Okay.
11:30 to make it less attractive to look at the screen.
Ah. Does it make any difference?
I don't think so. It's just made me better at looking at my screen in the evening.
Yeah.
Not that aggressive.
Yeah, I look more now. Yeah.
Or I've just gotten used to it now. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, it doesn't really have the same effect anymore. But yeah.
My trick now, like I'm going through a phase. I'm terrible. I've deleted apps on my phone.
Mm.
Because I was looking at them too much. I'm just like, no. I still look at my phone a lot, but I've deleted apps.
Now you just get frustrated having to find the apps.
Yeah. I'm like, I'll have to get my fucking laptop now. Yeah. Which I've done.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's trying to break it. Being aware of it, trying to break it. But like, at the moment, I'll only say this because like it can change, but like at the moment I'm reading when I go to sleep and it's just because I'm enjoying a book, right? Like as soon as I finish a book and if I don't find another one that I enjoy, I'm going to look for something else, right?
Yeah.
But if I'm enjoying a book, I'm like, all right, I don't have to have the phone. I read until I'm falling asleep.
Mm.
I don't let my brain think. I'm like, read until I can't read anymore.
Yeah.
And then I'm like,
what is that?
What?
Like, I have the same thing. And I think I have it way back from childhood. Like,
read until you fall asleep.
No, but I was so annoyed. I hated this thing, lying in my bed, not being able to fall asleep, and just your thoughts.
Like, oh,
I never liked that. And it was not because I felt like I had particularly negative thoughts or it was like they would just keep fucking going, you know?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't fall asleep.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And like now you could say, well, it's because you're looking at your phone and this fucks up your eyes and you don't get naturally tired. But like back then there was no phone.
No.
I didn't even have a television in my room. I had to go carry my parents' television into my room if I wanted to watch television. Yeah, and it didn't have a remote control.
Yeah.
So I'd go in bed and then I'd get like a stick so I could poke the fucking... So that didn't really work and that's I didn't brilliant. Get tired because I was lying with a stick in bed, you know, like this fucking weirdo. But yeah, I have this thing with like, oh, it's a little bit uncomfortable lying with your thoughts in the evening. But I think it's actually super healthy. I think you're like kind of, it's some kind of, you know, you're processing your day.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably very healthy for your brain to just have that.
I think maybe, yeah, I'm sure, well, like anything that just kind of happens, I'm sure there's a reason for it, right? So like when you're going to bed and your brain's going... Unless you've been like, you know, staring at something very bright or you've like had a coffee or something and you've made yourself wired. If you're just naturally like your brain's going, there's probably, like you said, there's probably like a reason your brain's doing that, right?
Yeah.
But what I find now is like, sure, back in the day when I was a kid, fine, like trying to get to sleep or anything. But now like what will happen is it'll turn into worries. I'll think about stuff and I'll True. Be like, yeah. Oh, but that's, and I'll do this and I need to do that. And like, yeah, what if that doesn't happen? Da, da, da. So it'll become... worries, and if it gets too bad, I don't fall asleep.
Yeah,
I start going like on a hamster wheel, just this and that. And that. So I need to be like, I keep. So the other thing, if I'm not reading, the other thing I do is podcasts or audio books and stuff like that. I just stick it in. I'm like, listen to something. My brain's distracted. But then I find that like I wake up if I've listened to that long enough. I wake up tired because my brain's been like listening to something all night, and it's not like just relaxed either.
Oh, don't you put like a sleep timer on? I do that
sometimes.
With my
sometimes yeah. I do, but every now and then I'll it'll be on Spotify or you know or yeah. Acast, one of those wonderful providers.
Smooth,
yeah, and it'll just. Play into the next one. I've gotten fucking 8 hours of hardcore history with
Dan Carlin. Yeah, sure. That's not healthy. Grim stuff in those podcasts sometimes. Yeah,
blood flowed out of his eyes.
Yeah,
yeah, you know,
they tore the rib cage out.
Could you face a man with a sword? Yeah, yeah.
Imagine your whole family murdered, slaughtered, and sold for slaves.
I gotta go to work.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's interesting. But I had the same thing with a book. Like, oh, yes, I'm back. Book. Yeah. It's so nice. It's good. But I would also read until like, like nodding, falling asleep, which I don't think is healthy either.
Mm.
But then as soon as I didn't have a book, I was like,
yeah,
but I'm very strict. Like,
there's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I only listen to podcasts before. I don't have my phone, sort of. I managed to take that out, sort of, so I don't look at the screen directly when I go to bed. So.
Yeah, I think there's, like, reading, like, it's just, when I see these articles about, like, you're on your phone too much, it's like the analogy of cigarettes. It's like, it's an easy get. We know these things. Mm. Like, you can't say, cigarettes bad, but people still smoke. You're like, we know we're on our phones too much. We know we've got a lot of screen time.
Do you think we'll get phones with like some horrible labels on it? Like some eyeballs.
A child with bulging eyes, like, you know, bloodshot eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
That could be a good business plan.
Well,
possibly. I'm sure in 200 years they're going to look back on us and be like, and this is where we fucked up.
Yeah. And then they introduced the iPhone.
Yeah, yeah. But they've got these... they mention how many people have used AI as well. I think like 30-40% of Danes have used AI. Yeah. Have you tried OpenAI?
No.
It's fine. It's some people are mad for, like, I know a few friends of ours who like use it really intelligently.
No.
Like they're like, oh, if I ask this particular question, that'll trigger this, and then I can use that. And they know how to approach. But I'm just like, write a story about farts. No. I don't know how to use it correctly. I don't know what I can use to enable it to make my life easier. I'm just like, it says funny things if I make it.
Yeah,
that's how I approach AI.
Yeah. No, I really want to actually learn how to use it, because I also, like, I'm closing in on 40, so I'm also like, I don't want to be sort of digitally left behind and just sort of be this dinosaur. It's like, what? Yeah. Facebook's not cool anymore? So I have that kind of in the back of my head, and I feel like I need to sort of get on this, because I also think it can be a really amazing tool. I saw some interesting videos about people, like, having, like, full-on sort of dialogues with, like, trying to challenge the... It was, like, a question about... They were trying... It was, like, when you don't believe in Christian Jesus, you're a...
Atheist.
I was about to say Antichrist. I couldn't get it right. Like, an atheist who wanted to try and get ChatGPT to say, no, there is a God.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was, like, going through it, and, like, I studied philosophy, so he had all these, like, clever ways of approaching conversations and argumenting and all this stuff. And, like, he eventually got it to sort of agree.
Oh, like, interesting.
Yes, God does exist.
Huh. I got a...
Like, it took a long time. You had to constantly sort of, no, you're doing this thing again where you're giving these vague answers.
The thing is, it just tells you what it thinks you want. Like, it does... It's not... It's purely... It doesn't have... All right, we don't need to get... I think 99% of people have heard about AI and, like, heard podcasts or news articles about it. Yeah. But one more time. It's not actual intelligence. It's a word. It puts in words one after the other, expecting the most logic, like, what it expects the next word to be, it'll put it in. Yeah, so we're on our screens too much. Shock horror.
I would like to talk about some congested Greek marble heads.
Oh?
Yes.
Congested?
Contested, sorry, okay, not congested, right. Contested. I don't know if they're contested or congested, these Greek marble heads, but they're definitely contested.
Okay.
Three sculpture fragments from the Parthenon Temple in Athens, which came to Denmark around 1688 and 1835, will stay at the National Museum in Denmark, despite Acropolis Museum requesting the institution to hand over these objects and ownership. So two of the marble heads have been part of National Museum's collection in Denmark for more than 300 years. And they originally come from the Greek Parthenon Temple, which is an ancient monument in Greek's capital, Athens. I'm sure you know. It's been assessed that these objects have a special role for Danish cultural history and greater significance at the National Museum than if they were sent to Greece, said Rane Villerslev, director of the National Museum, in a press release. I really struggle to in any way. Now, Rane is... I quite like this guy. I've heard him on podcasts. He's a very intelligent guy.
Mm.
But I cannot understand his argument there. How can a Greek monument that has no ties to any Danish history have more cultural significance for Danes than for Greeks? Like, that's like saying... Oh, yes, I did steal that thing, but now I've grown quite fond of it, and it has a significant value to me, so now I don't want to give it back. To me, that's the argument.
I really want to hear... I'd love to ask him. I'd like to hear...
Yeah.
Because these people, I'm sure he's got, like...
Like, time is not an argument. Oh, we've had it for over 300 years.
It's been a long time.
But that's not an argument, in my
book. It might as well be ours, though, at this stage.
Yeah. I'm actually trying to look if he further sort of explains why. Because I know there was something about, like, there's been some relationships between the Danish royals and the Greek royals and stuff like that.
Oh.
So there are some cultural ties there, you could say.
Good relationships. Right, okay.
But again, they had no ties to the people who built the Parthenon back, however many thousands of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so to me, that's not an argument there either. So, I call BS, Rane.
BS?
I call BS. Send those congested marble heads back to Greece, please.
I think there's a conversation for certain artifacts and things being preserved well. I'm sure there's parts of the world, like ancient things, very delicate things. I'm sure there's places in the world, not museums per se, but like places in the world that you're like, this is probably preserved best in this scenario, in this, like, this kind of location. That's and we true. Can do that.
Yeah.
You know? So I think there's a conversation for those kind of things where you're like, this can be preserved best or studied best here for now, I suppose. But no, I don't understand how you can have this, like, Because is it busts? Is it the?
Yeah, it's kind of like some. It's an arm and a head and a leg.
I mean.
Like. Yeah, you can see him here.
Like Greece could look after that very well.
Yeah. they're already doing it, you know. They have a museum. But yeah, I don't understand it. And, you know, it's the same with a lot of the things in the British Museum and like
that
most
keep
European countries
shit. There's so many stories now about museums in England losing stuff.
Yeah, that's also
it's
true.
Mad.
Yeah. I mean, so maybe like, they're not the best.
Yeah, I know. You're like,
to take care of these things.
Did I tell you about the Samurai Museum I was in?
The what?
The Samurai.
No.
Okay, so I was in Berlin a couple of months ago.
They have a samurai museum?
Oh, fuck yeah. They have, yeah, right? That was my reaction too. So I was in Berlin and it was the last day and we were leaving and we were looking for somewhere for food or something. And then my friend was like, we could go to the Samurai Museum. And I'm like, what? It's like, yeah, there's a samurai. It's got really good reviews. Or like, it was one of the best museums I've ever been to.
Oh.
It was insane. It was like the most insane collection of samurai swords and armor and like so much information. And it was designed like with like, it was like interactive. It was like a gamer designed all the pieces so you could like move them and like touch and colors would change. And it was insane. It was huge. Okay. It was like, I think the number 40,000 is in my head about like different pieces and suits were counted as one.
Full suit, right?
It was insane. And I kept, like, the more I went into it, I'm like, why does Berlin have this? What's going on? And, like, the further I went in, the more I saw and the more like, and this is a one of a kind. I'm like, why does Berlin have this? And then it dawned on me, he's like, it's private. This isn't Berlin's, this is somebody's. And I looked it up and it's the biggest private collection, one of the biggest private collections in the world. So it was a guy who bought all of this and now he has a museum.
Okay.
But it's an insane collection.
Mm.
So,
but I think that's the same with like a lot of these like artifacts, like back in the 1800s and 1700s, 1600s,
yeah.
Like in Europe, this was a status symbol to have these kind of things in your private collections, right?
Yeah.
That's why it's also like reason to now that we put them in museums and we're like, okay, well, fair. Like, let's give them back.
Yeah.
Unless you're like, well, you don't have a museum to preserve this and we're, you know, we want to help you keep this cultural history.
Yeah.
Then fine. But like, if it's just, we actually quite like it here. I've never heard of these marble heads either.
There's probably just like, they're not
stuck somewhere in a dark room in the Schneidmuseum.
Yeah.
Like, we've had them from 300 years. We've had a chance to see them. Can we give them back?
There's an Irish woman recently who gave back arrowheads to I can't remember what country they originated, but her father worked for a museum in Ireland and he had this as a private collection. And then she read about a story about people giving back artifacts and stuff. And she's like, you know what? That's probably the right thing to do. Mm. So she contacted and was like, I can't remember who or what. Embassies, but she's given them back to the correct embassies and stuff.
Okay.
And they were just privately owned in her house. She's like, we don't need these. You can just have them back.
Yeah.
I like it's hard to let go of colonialism. It's hard to let go of the way we were.
It lingers.
You know?
Yeah. Very true. Very true. Now for the weather?
Yeah. Well,
take a look outside.
Yeah, fucking wet and
it's
windy.
Wet and windy, and it's going to continue, ladies and gentlemen. Anybody who identifies as anything else, it's going to be cold and wet and rainy for the next couple of weeks, sadly, and months. And dark.
Uh huh.
And speaking of darkness,
yeah.
Sweden, who's further up north,
yeah,
it's even darker there during the winter months.
Mm.
So they've started to try and because people get depressed and you know, there's not as much social interaction as we kind of briefly touched on here earlier. So in Sweden, in a little town called Luleå, they have welcoming a new campaign, encouraged them to say hello to each other during dark winter months.
Ah.
And that's the campaign.
Ah.
I laughed at it a bit at first. I thought, that's kind of silly. But I actually think it's kind of a... I think this might work. Like, I think it's just like encouraging people to say hi to each other.
Yeah.
I think we'll just, if you can get people to do that, then that's one little step further to have a conversation.
Yes.
A small talk.
Yeah.
That will lead to a deeper conversation, yeah, maybe potentially. So I laughed at first, but I actually think it's quite a nice thing. And I would encourage us to try the same here.
Oh, you'll...
I'm going to say hi to people.
You're going to be shunned real fast, yeah, by the Danes, but try it, Marius, try it.
But as a Dane myself,
yeah,
I feel like it needs to be a Dane that takes up the mantle.
True, 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 true. I think if anyone's going to try it, it's got to be a Dane.
Yeah, yeah. So if you see a curly-haired gentleman say hi to you on the metro...
He's
not a pervert. Just trying to spread some hygge.
Hygge. The WHO came out recently and said that loneliness is like the same as like what, a 20 pack of cigarettes a day? Like, as in the sense of like, it could take that much time off your life. Loneliness. Yeah. So, but there's loads of, I think we talking, like you said, like Facebook and stuff like that, are like, is Facebook not cool anymore? I think for anybody who is like maybe your first winter in Denmark and you're like looking for, you know, how do I not stay inside all the time?
Mm.
There are loads of like these groups, Facebook groups that do like comedy events. And I've seen a lot of board game things.
Yeah,
coming
board
up.
Games or you there's know? Like communal eating dinners, yeah, and stuff like that.
Yeah, so there's stuff out there. Just, you know, have a look. And yeah, and for every person who's saying like, that's me, there's within a 10-mile radius, there's probably another 50 people saying the same thing. So,
yeah,
like, I mean,
yeah, yeah,
there's
yeah,
plenty of people out there who want to go out and do something.
Where I live, there's a lot of internationals also living there.
Yeah.
And it really hit me as I was just walking down the hall to my apartment. And I was in the elevator with another resident there. Mm. We lived on the same floor and we kind of briefly started talking. And I'm not great. I'm very much when I come home.
Yeah.
Like, and just like, I go to my apartment and then I don't say hi. I say hi to people, but I'm not like engaging in small talk conversations with people. And she was like, I had a little bit of a conversation with her. And she told me, oh, you're the first one I've spoken to here. You're the first one who said hi to me. And I was just like, damn.
Wow.
That's rough.
Yeah.
It's like, said a proper hi to her, yeah, and gave my name. It's like,
yeah, yeah.
I've not seen her since, though. But I quite often think about her when I walk. I've got a little stark reminder of how, yeah.
Yeah, say hello.
How hard loneliness can be.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, absolutely. And if you ever needed another reason not to go to Burger King and McDonald's.
Apropos,
how's that for a transition?
Great segue.
I just saw this and I wanted to mention it. Can you pronounce that name, please?
Slagelse?
Yeah, do you know where it is?
Yeah.
It's like before the bridge to Fyn. So
yeah,
it's like the big bridge. It's like it's an area just before the big bridge over to Odense, if like from Zealand.
Yeah.
Three people have been reprimanded. Are charged with releasing rats, mice, and cockroaches into McDonald's and Burger King in that town.
Okay. As like a protest kind of?
Just as kids.
Oh.
They were just three young people. And they were rats, mice, and cockroaches.
Where'd they get them?
I don't know. I don't know. But I just saw it. I was like, what? The headline is, three people charged with releasing rats, insects at fast food restaurants. And I'm like... I that's just like, think of nightmares. It's a thing of nightmares.
Yeah.
Cockroaches in your food.
Yeah, that's horrible. That's horrible. I've never seen a cockroach here in Denmark. Have you ever seen a cockroach here?
I saw something that looked like a cockroach in a flower once. But okay. I don't know, because it was in a flower shop.
Mm.
So it could have been like just brought in from somewhere else.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But no, I haven't seen cockroaches.
No.
But you can buy them. I know you can buy them. Because you can, a friend of mine has a lizard, and they eat cockroaches, so you can buy cockroaches. Oh! I just remembered him telling me a story about them leaving the house and finding a cockroach on their jacket later in the day.
Yeah. You're not good with bugs either?
No, cockroaches are just the worst, though.
Yeah.
Oh, lordy, they're bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I just thought, like, they've been reprimanded, but, like, just if you're in that vicinity, check your burgers.
Give it a couple of weeks before you have a happy meal in Slagelse.
Yeah. I mean, you got to be... half a little bit, like rats. Rat, you went and got a rat.
But it sounds like they got several rats.
It's just like they
surely it wasn't just a cockroach, a mouse, and a rat walks into a Burger King.
But it's just like I'm just so curious about it. Is it like it's vandalism to like it's not even not terrorism, but social.
Comment? No, I don't know.
It's just it's a bit much. It's a bit much.
I would have liked it if they'd had some kind of political message.
Nah, one was 17, one was 21, one was 28. I don't know. Maybe it's being lost through the cycle of news.
Maybe.
And maybe they meant something by it, but maybe it's against fast food. It was a Burger King and McDonald's.
Oh yeah.
So maybe let's all just think about that for a second.
Let's take a little minute of thinking about that. Ah, well. Kids these days, huh? Yeah. Kids these days. Do you want some hot tips?
If the hottest you got, please.
The hottest I've got? Yeah, oh, we need some hot tips. Well, one is hot, I would say. It's very hot. No, it's actually a bit cold. This is Silent Disco on Ice. But you know, you get warm by skating around.
Yeah.
So this is on the 30th of November, Thursday, the Bruns Skøjtebane, so the skating what's that? Ring, that's what it's called. Where you can go get skates for 1 hour, where you both get skates and some earbuds for 150 kroner. And then you just skate around listening to some disco. And that's from 4:30 to 21. And that's by the lakes. Where is it? Doesn't say the exact address. Bruns Skøjtebane. That's Strandgade 95. So that's in the center of city. So that's one option you could do.
If you can skate.
If you can skate, or you can learn. If you can learn to skate. Then we have... there's a free event at the Cisternerne I Frederiksberg. What's it called? It's not called Frederiksberg Have, but the other garden where Cisternerne, this sort of underground water reservoir
what?
Museum. You know.
No.
You've been there. I know you've been there. Yep.
Oh, okay.
Across from the zoo.
Yeah.
There's like this kind of... There's kind of this... you know, there's a park and there's kind of a field where there's like some glass buildings and you can go down underground.
I didn't know you could go down underground.
You've not been in Cisternerne?
No.
Okay, well, this is for you, Owen.
Thank you.
Because this is free because it's the last opening day. So you can go experience. This is also the 30th of November. And there will be a DJ playing some South Korean pop hits and 80s classics. And there's an interesting sort of color patterns of life and the moisture laden chambers of the cisterns you can go explore.
Okay.
That was a mouthful.
Yes.
Yep. So that's something to check out. Some Korean pop and
80s hits.
80s hits and some lights.
And some lights.
What's not to like? Now, if you thought that was a mouthful, wait for this one. Tofu Space Opening.
Uh-huh.
Has nothing to do with food.
What?
Yes. No. This is... okay. Allow me just to read.
I always do.
Immerse yourself in an underwater cyber ecstasy when Tofu Collective opens the doors to the solo exhibition Mermaid Awakening Club by Taiwan's queer icon, mermaid diva, and avant-garde artist Betty Apple, who will be inaugurating the new... non-profit gallery Tofu Space at Lederstred 15.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah. So Mermaid Awakening Club kicks off with an explosive celebration in a collaboration with Gammel Strand when Betty Apple performs her work Mermaid Escape Room in Gammel Strand's banquet hall. It's an initiation ritual in the form of electronic rhythms, party lasers, and liberating dance. The performance is an open invitation to Betty Apple's mermaid cult.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Any questions?
No. Everything. I'm completely satisfied with the information I've just been given. Thank you.
Very good. So this is on Thursday, the 7th of December, from 7 a.m. to 2:30. So you gotta get up a bit early. And Lederstred 15, also in the center of the city.
Okay.
Yep.
If you're in Aarhus, there's Albert's. They do English comedy. It's on a Sunday. It's downstairs at Albert's. It's free.
They might get, they're digging some, they're trying to do, they're digging some holes in an Aarhus to, or go to the underground to get some kind of heat, sort of warm heat, natural warmth from the earth.
Oh, okay.
Into the heaters. So.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's all I know about it.
That's vague.
That was very vague. But, it's another story about Aarhus.
We'll look into it. Until next week, I recommend that we all just stay.
Cool.
Bing.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.